And so I'd like to start with this story about Lee Shapiro. He is a retired judge. And during his career, he realized that love is the greatest power there is. And as a result, Lee became a hugger. And he began offering everyone a hug. His colleagues dubbed him the hugging judge. And a bumper sticker on his car reads, "Don't bug me, hug me." I love that. And Lee created a hugger kit. And on the outside it reads, "A heart for a hug." And inside contains 30 little red embroidered hearts with stickums on the back. And Lee would take out his hugger kit, go around to people, and offer them a little red heart in exchange for a hug. One day, Lee's friend Nancy Johnston showed up on his doorstep. Nancy is a professional clown, and she was wearing her clown costume, makeup and all. And Lee, she said, "Grab a bunch of your hugger kits, and let's go to the home for the disabled." When they arrived at the home, they started giving out balloon hats, hearts, and hugs to all the patients. Lee was uncomfortable. He had never hugged people who were terminally ill, severely retarded, or quadriplegic. It was definitely a stretch for him. But after a while, it became easier with Nancy and Lee acquiring an entourage of doctors and nurses and orderlies who followed them from ward to ward. After several hours, they entered the last ward, and these were 34 of the worst cases Lee had ever seen. But out of their commitment to share their love and to make a difference, Nancy and Lee started working their way around the room, followed by the entourage of medical staff, all of whom by now had hearts on their collars and balloon hats on their heads. Finally, Lee came to the last person, Leonard. Leonard was wearing a big white bib, which he was drooling on. Lee looked at Leonard drooling on his bib and said, "Let's go, Nancy. There's no way we can get through to this person." And Nancy replied, "Come on, Lee. He's a fellow human being too, isn't he?" And then she placed a funny balloon hat on Leonard. And Lee took one of his little red hearts and he placed it on Leonard's bib. And he took a deep breath. He leaned down and he gave Leonard a hug. All of a sudden, Leonard began squealing, "Ee! Ee!" And other patients in the room began to clang things together. And Lee turned to one of the staff for some explanation, only to find that every doctor, nurse, and orderly were crying. Lee asked the head nurse, "What's going on?" And Lee will never forget what she said. "This is the first time in 23 years we've ever seen Leonard smile." The power of a hug. And the story ends, how simple it is to make a difference in the lives of others. Powerful story. But together, we make a difference in each other's lives. Together, we create spiritual community. And the energy that allows us to do this is the energy of love. Of love, a commitment, you know, within ourselves to being that open vessel for love to flow through. Creating that field, that energy field of love. And we're going to be doing this, creating this energy field of love in just about a month. We have on Sunday, March 18th, we have our Appreciative Inquiry Summit. And we're inviting everyone, all of you, to come at 9 o'clock. And we're going to have parts of our worship service kind of intertwined between this Appreciative Inquiry Summit. And it will be filled with conversations with each other about why we love this church, why we come here to Unity of Bellevue, what we value most about the church. If you were at one of my Getting to Know You circles when I first got here, that was just a mini little taste of what we'll be doing together as a congregation. And I know we're inviting you to come from 9 to 3. And I know it's a long time, but please, please make a commitment and get it on your calendar and be here. We won't do this again for at least 3 to 5 years. I promise. But you will love it. You'll probably beg me and ask me, let's do it again next year. But it is a fun, wonderful way of engaging the entire community because we need you. We need to know why you love this place, what you value. And that information will allow the visioning team to begin to work on a purpose statement and a mission and a vision. Because, you know, where there's no vision, people perish. And so we need a mission. We need a vision. We need, you know, a core values that we know what we all stand for and what we appreciate and love most about this place. And after lunch that we have together, we'll be doing a fabulous visioning, visualization. Right after lunch, where we begin to visualize the future of the church. What is it we want to become? What is God calling Unity of Bellevue to become? And that's why it's important that every voice be heard. We don't want anybody to be left out. Because from that, then we create what is it we're going to do in the next 2 to 3 years. And so your voice is vitally important. I invite you to be here for that. Put that on your calendar. March 18th and 9 o'clock we're starting. And it will be a fabulous experience about creating community together and about creating together a dynamic and exciting future for Unity of Bellevue, creating that field of love, that energy field of love. And how appropriate it is that we're talking about love today. No accident, because in just a few days we have this wonderful day of love, Valentine's Day on Tuesday, that we celebrate. Jesus said that the kingdom of heaven, or love, that's what he was really talking about. This kingdom of love is spread out upon the earth. And isn't it interesting that here we are over 2,000 years later, and our quantum physicists are finally saying, guess what? There's this energy field in which we live. Now, we knew that, right? We know that. It's the energy field of love. Jesus called it the kingdom of heaven. Buddha called it nirvana, or pure white light. Albert Einstein even named it. He called it the unified field, the field of infinite possibilities out of which everything possible comes. And so that every thought that you have that is not attuned to this higher vibration of agape love, this pure unconditional love, is at a frequency that is operating below the kingdom of heaven frequency. And that kingdom of heaven frequency is this field of infinite possibilities. It's this consciousness of ever-increasing good. And so every time we go into judgment, every time we go into annoyance, every time we go to fear, anger, resentment, we're lowering the frequency. And if you want to read about this vibrational scale, David Hawkins has a great book, Power versus Force, where he lists out this scale. And at the very, very bottom, vibrating very low, is hate, anger, fear, blame, judgment, guilt, all that stuff. On a very high, on the highest vibrational, on the scale, the highest vibration, you've got love, peace, joy. And so just remember that in this infinite field of goodness, of divine love, it's right here, right now, all the time, all the time. But you and I are the ones who block this field sometimes. We block this energy. We block the love within us through our beliefs, our attitudes, and what we believe is true about ourselves. When Jesus said, all things are possible, he was living in this high vibrational level. And all things were possible to him all the time, all the time. And everything is possible to us as well. It's your choice. It's your choice. And so if you choose to live at that lower vibration of fear, even in the midst of an incredible, fabulous, wonderful opportunity, you will only see the problem. If you live, you know, if you are stuck in this cycle of always needing to have more stuff and more stuff and more stuff, you'll get caught up in that addictive mode. And you'll never feel and be aware of the divine flow that is within you. And if you get stuck in believing that God maybe sometimes might respond, instead of really knowing that God is all around you, everywhere present, can only respond to you, can only say yes to you, you'll miss every opportunity in every moment to bring God into expression. Because that's what we're here to do. We're here every moment is a call. It's an opportunity to bring God into expression. But we can't do that when we're vibrating down here at a very low level. And so we need to lift that up. We need to step into that call of every moment, every opportunity, being that that possibility of bringing God into expression. And so as we become aware that we live in this pure energy field of love, then we begin to realize that we can't afford to have a negative thought. Because if you take a negative thought and you put it in this energy field of love, it can only give you back a negative response, right? It's our third unity principle. What you put out comes back to you. What you focus on all day long, you get more of. It's our third principle. All life can do is mirror back to you your belief. And so every time we go down into anger, fear, hatred, resentment, there's just one more, we create one more time of thinking that the universe isn't for us, when in fact, the universe can only say yes. It only says yes to whatever you put out there. It says yes. It supports you right where you are. And so when I realized this important spiritual principle, I remember when I first got into unity, I was blown away. At first I thought, no, not me. You know, I'm not creating my reality. You know, it's not my fault. Any other victims out there? You know, we start out as the victim. It's their fault. They're doing it to me. But when I realized this profound spiritual principle that life is a mirror, it changed my life. Here's what the principle says. The universe mirrors back to you exactly what you believe about it. If you believe life is hard, guess what? Life will give you every possible circumstance to prove life is hard. If you believe you're surrounded by loving individuals, you'll look around and you'll see loving individuals surrounding you. The universe mirrors back to you exactly what you believe about it. I want to share with you a story that helps to show this principle in action. This was a true story on the front page of the Kansas City Star several years ago. And there was a photograph of a pimply-faced kid who was 15 and a half years old. His name was Chris. And Chris's dad had died 3 weeks before of ALS, that debilitating neurological disease. And in Kansas, you can get your driver's license at age 15. So Chris had worked hard the year before to save up enough money to get his first car. He had $1,500. So here he is, 15 and a half. His father had just died, and he's now off to get his first car. And Chris goes to the American Cancer Society auction, and which is a big deal in Kansas City. Hundreds of cars are donated. They make lots of money, and lots of people donate their cars to this event. In fact, Chris's family had donated the van that his father had used with ALS, and the family had given it in hopes that somebody who, you know, could really use it would get it. That was their desire. That is what their intention was. And so Chris is at the auction. He sees a woman in a wheelchair next to the van. And her family is around her. He goes over to her, meets her. Her name is Mary. And he finds out she has ALS, the very disease that had taken Chris's father's life. And he struck up a conversation with her, and he told her, "I really hope that you get the van." And the family said they had $4,800, and they really hoped that would be enough. They struck up a friendship, and then Chris went off to find his car. When the auction started, he looked over and he heard the bidding of the van go to $4,800. Then it went to $4,900. And then it went to $5,000. He realized that Mary was not going to get the van. Now, what happened next is truly amazing. This 15-and-a-half-year-old boy walked over and gave this family his $1,500. He didn't loan it. He gave it. And then they were allowed to purchase the van. When Chris was interviewed, he said, "My dad had ALS. And I don't want anyone to have to go through that. It was so hard. I was 9 years old, and they said that he would only have 7 to 8 months to live. And my family and the neighbors, we formed a team around my dad so that my dad, however many months he had left to live, would have the best life possible." And his dad lived another 6 years. Chris was so articulate and able to share about the process that someone heard him on the news and asked him to keynote at an ALS event. By the time Chris was 17, he had raised over $1 million for ALS. This young man took that situation, and instead of going into cynicism or pity, he went into service. He gave the very best he had, and by the time he left for college, he had raised over $2 million for ALS, all in the midst of his greatest loss. Now, when the story got out, an auto company gave Chris a car, and he was able to go to college on a scholarship. But you see, Chris was giving of his love, of the highest and the best that was within himself. And life mirrored that back to him. This young man gave of himself, and the universe gave back to him. You see, when we're in service to love, when we serve a greater calling, even in the midst of what looks like a crummy blow, you know, look at Chris. But look what happened. That greater love not only created miracles for Chris, but it took ALS and all the people he touched with him. Because that's the nature of love. The miracle is not only for you, but the miracle touches the lives of all the people around you. And so you and I, right now, in this moment, we have a choice. You know, am I going to rise in love? Will I let love, the energy of love, lift me? Or will I go into anger, fear, resentment, and play at a lower level of frequency? Jean Houston, a great light on this planet, many years ago, she interviewed Mother Teresa, and she asked, "Mother, how is it that you can do so many things? Where you can go where armies can't go. You can get people to cooperate that no one else can even get to talk to each other. You can go to the poorest of poor places and miracles happen. How is it that you can do all that?" And Mother Teresa said, "Oh, Jean, it's because I am so in love with Christ that I would do anything for him." And then Jean's mouth dropped open when she went on to say, "And Jean, you need to understand, Christ is so in love with me that he would do anything for me." See, that's the power of love. We can substitute in there love. I'm so in love with love that I would do anything for love. And love is so in love with me that love would do anything for me. And so you see, when you live in this field of love, this field of infinite possibilities, then you're in service to a universe that can only give back without limits. Now, you're probably thinking, yeah, right. You know, we got saints in Kansas City and we've got Mother Teresa's in India. Every great soul starts where they are, doing the job that's in front of them. And it's not really the job that you do that matters. It's the energy from which you do it that really matters. You know, it's so easy to go the way of the world. So easy to be pulled down to that lower frequency of anger and hate and fear and resentment. But it's only in the higher frequency of love that miracles become natural, that people get healed, that the world shifts, that transformation takes place. Mother Teresa, that beautiful soul, she once said, I want to be a pencil in the hand of God writing a love letter to the world. Isn't that beautiful? I want to be a pencil in the hand of God writing a love letter to the world. You know, I want to be a divine instrument of love so that the divine flow can move through me. That's what it's all about. Mother Teresa said it so beautifully. She said, most of us won't do the great big things for God, like raising $2 million for ALS. But she says, every single one of us is asked with every day, with every breath, with every thought, with every action, to do the small things in our lives with great love. Whatever it is that you is before you to do, just do it with the greatest love you can. And then heaven comes to earth moment by moment as we're greeting each other, as we're driving down the street, as we stop in the grocery store, whatever it is you're doing, do it with the greatest of love. Not because you need it, not because we need it, because that's the way the world of spirit works. So today, let each one of us make a commitment to love. Let's make a commitment to living in this energy field of love, because really, that's what it's all about. Right? It's all about love. And so my prayer for you is that this Tuesday, you have a very, very happy Valentine's Day, living in that energy field of love, making love the most important thing that you can do. So happy Valentine's Day, and God bless you.